Social Media Church Podcast. This is episode number 3, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in to Social Media Church, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. Thank you for all the comments coming in on Twitter and Facebook. Appreciate the encouragement and the likes at our Facebook page. And again, this is a place for conversation. We'd love to have you chime in on voicemail and add a comment on our blog. At the time of this recording, we were waiting for the first review to come in on iTunes. If you're the first one to add a review onto the iTunes store, you will always be the first person to add a review. And if you're reluctant about writing 50 words or 100 words, just click on the 5-star rating. That would help us get the word out about what we're doing here at Social Media Church. One of the things I've noticed about Twitter and Facebook is the comments there are great. They're immediate, ready to just click. And I just saw the new keynote from WWDC about Apple's new products coming out. iOS 6 has Twitter and Facebook tightly integrated along with a couple of other social networks. So that's infiltrating our mobile devices. And our podcast here is to track how social media is becoming more and more an integral part of the church. On this episode, I got to connect with Justin Lathrop during a visit to Dallas in our ongoing work with Leadership Network, a great organization that's connecting innovators to multiply their impact. And we talk about how Justin is incorporating social media into his life and his work. Previously the director of strategic development at the Oaks Fellowship and currently the director of strategic relations at the General Council of the Assemblies of God. So we draw upon his experience in working in a large church context as well as a denomination and just being present online through various channels of social media and in person as a networker and connector. Here's my conversation with Justin Lathrop. DJ Chuang here sitting with Justin Lathrop, and he is an incredible entrepreneur, leadership development guy, and he's engaged in social media. So I want to spend a few minutes chatting with him about, we were on this topic of a mayor that's using social media really well, and then we're going to mention Justin's social media faux pas and just ways that he's using social media for himself, for his businesses, and what's happening in his church.
If you're active on Twitter, especially in the political world, you've probably heard of Cory Booker, and he kind of came on my radar maybe a year and a half ago. It was during the winter time, and I don't remember how he got retweeted or something, but something that I saw him do, which made me think later for how the church could utilize this, but he, I assume, had people on his team monitoring, because I can't imagine how he'd do it by himself, but he was monitoring the channels during a blizzard in Newark, Newark, New Jersey, and I kept seeing him retweet different people with a comment to it. Okay. So it was, you know, it was some lady saying, I can't get my car out of the snowbank, I'm on 34th in Maine, and he would retweet that and say, I'm on my way with a shovel in hand.
Amazing.
You know,
kind
of, so this is the mayor, you know? And so, I mean, I watched him do this all day, one day, and just kept retweeting. And he was just literally just driving around with the city, you know, people, getting people out of stuff, which obviously he isn't going to be by himself able to help the whole city. But what he was doing was showing he cared.
And using Twitter to get people out of a snowstorm.
Yeah, exactly. Twitter to find out where the people were that were hurting, that were struggling. So doing keyword searches and zip code searches to find out where those people were and what they were saying and then responding to them. So I just, I started thinking about, which we've done a little bit with the church I'm at, but started thinking about how we could utilize, proximity searches with keywords like prayer or hospital or sick, you know. And so you try it yourself. Go to your zip code and type in a word like prayer and hospital. And you start, sometimes you see things that are not relevant for whatever reason, but sometimes you see, please pray, I'm on my way to the hospital.
Or that's amazing.
Got an appointment. And imagine if your pastor started replying to those just once a week or twice a week. I mean, just you know, no time at all, and just goes, man, you don't know who you are, but we're going to be praying for you. And really actually pray, obviously. Yeah. But the kind of impact you can start seeing in your community, especially where I'm at, where it's a smaller community, so there's not, like, if you're in Dallas, there might be thousands, it's too hard. Yeah. But, like, we just have one or two whenever I do those searches. Okay. A day, and so you're.
I mean, you're a smaller. Things. You might be in a smaller community, population-wise, but your church is pretty sizable.
Yeah. I mean, the church is sizable.
You're reaching, I guess, a wide range of people,
right? Right. Through different towns and that kind of thing. So, I just think I was really impressed with that, the mayor, and he's got his own issues, I'm sure. But as far as when it came to leveraging social media to care for the citizens and the people, as a mayor, it's very similar. I mean, what a pastor would be doing for his congregation and those that aren't even in his congregation, as long as you view your congregation as your city.
Because so often I think of social media as being able to connect with people across the country and thousands of miles away, that people that I don't see maybe once a year. I mean, I don't see you except once or twice a year at conferences like this. And then to think, hey, social media can be used locally.
Yeah, exactly.
Geographically, and I know I don't turn on my Twitter geotags.
Yeah.
But for people, I guess it defaults to it, or if there's maybe some IP address, or
I don't
know what happens with Twitter to do
that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure either, but
when people do have geotag in there, that's a great open door that this mayor demonstrated could be very useful.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, that's so wild.
Yeah, I love it. I'm very excited about it, to try and utilize it more broadly for the church.
Now, when did you first get into social media? I mean, I know you're a young guy, but there's young people that aren't.
I mean, I've always, I would say my first real plunge in it was MySpace, and so whatever that was, 04. So it's not really been a long time. I mean, I really saw the power of that, and then, really started. Twitter was really what got me really active in it, and just seeing the power of it. I mean, I've always been, since I can remember, someone who likes connecting people. So you can imagine when I started.
I like that too.
Yeah. So when you start seeing, how this works. I mean, I've been connecting people through sending, cards in the mail kind of stuff. I mean, and so this is just instantaneous, and the way I was able to see how this could leverage that for greater relationships. I've just been in love since I figured it out, and not that I figured it all out, but since I really started.
And it's something that you have to keep learning, because it's always changing and developing. As we're recording this, Twitter just came out with a new logo.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed.
No, I don't.
Yeah, so there's a new, they're not using the T anymore for their logo. They're using a little bird.
The bird, okay.
Because they're multilingual. So, Twitter might not be the T in other parts of the world.
Sense.
And so that's a brilliant
bird.
Thought.
Yeah.
That's great. So take a minute and describe what it is that you do now here at Leadership Network, at the Oaks Fellowship, and I don't know if you've got some other projects on the side, and then how social media fits into each
of
those.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, so really what I'll kind of back up from there. I mean, I've been working as executive pastor for the Oaks several years now. I've been there 10 years. Love the church. Just been absolutely in love with the local church. And so being able to be in an actual local church, not just working for organizations that work with them, has been great. And still really involved there. My wife has now become the executive pastor at the Oaks. So, so I don't get to be a part of solving the problems anymore, but I do get to hear about them all still. So that's fun. But
that's leadership development,
exactly.
Right? In the church and the home.
Right.
Because that was your role previously.
Yeah, that was the role. So now I work with organizations that are having massive impact on the kingdom. So really I just search for those kind of organizations that hit multiple types of groups of people. And my role, what I feel called to do, is connect people to people for kingdom advancement. And so however I can do that, 5 years ago I would never have believed there was a way that I could make a living doing that. And now just fortunately God has allowed me to help organizations with that and find myself useful to do that. So I work.
Can you give a couple examples?
Because
we've got a growing audience here.
So, my first client and strong relationship with still and one of my main clients is the Assemblies of God. So started working for them in their national office in Springfield, Missouri. Don't live there, but commute there and work with them. And as their director of strategic relations, which really just exists to help set up partnerships with outside groups outside of the Assemblies. So build bridges for anything, groups like Catalyst or mm-hmm. groups like Leadership Network, yeah. you know, that the Assemblies of God pastors would see a benefit from, but they didn't come up with it, you know. Mm-hmm. So building those kind of bridges, and then also for those pastors that are in the assemblies who do have influence and are growing their platform to get opportunities to speak, write, participate in those kind of groups. So that came with the assemblies, and still doing that. Love it. I think really just am excited about where they're headed with them engaging in younger with the younger audience and
yes.
young pastors and all the things they're doing to do that. It's just really fun to be a part. So been doing that, and then through that came some other clients. I obviously still work in the search world with the Evangelism mm-hmm. Search Group, which
okay.
I love because
yeah.
there's nothing more connecting than when you
yes.
help a church find a pastor or a pastor find
yes.
a church. And so,
very much
so. So love doing that. But the Leadership Network thing has been great, and that's just a month old, working with them to develop an arm of Leadership Network that will help churches. Really, what the point is to save churches time, money, and headaches. So
awesome.
Anything,
wow, that's snappy.
Yes. Anything operational that we can help take away from the day-to-day management of the church so that they can do ministry. Mm. So we do things like outsourcing your accounting, mm. outsourcing your executive assistance, mm-hmm. Generosity, mm-hmm. campaign type stuff. Really, we're looking into, which is coming up soon, outsourcing your creative stuff for churches.
Oh, wow.
Which
yep.
We're doing a pilot uh-huh. now with uh-huh. the Oaks
okay.
on outsourcing that, what that looks like. I believe you can help churches save a ton of money and get incredible customized work done for you. So,
oh, that's neat.
So anyway, so
yeah.
that's with Leadership Network. That's just a month old now. It's called
yep.
Leadership Network Prime Solutions. And
okay.
Really enjoying that and being a part of this organization. I love the Leadership Network
oh.
and what they do and stand for. So,
fantastic.
Yeah. So
and how does social media fit into each of those? How
well,
are they using
yeah.
it?
I mean, you know, the
I mean, I know they're present.
Right.
But
yeah,
there's a little more than that.
Yeah, for me, I mean, everything that I am doing is connecting people and finding out what people are saying. And so
yeah.
this just gives me a great opportunity to monitor what people are saying, to connect others to each other through...
What are the channels you monitor most actively?
I mean, Twitter is one. I mean, it's the easiest
yeah.
one for me to
okay.
search. So even, for instance, with Prime Solutions, which primarily with that, with Leadership Network, we're working with our clients, so Leadership
mm-hmm.
Network Church, so we're not looking for new churches.
Okay.
But
sure.
but people are asking others about... You know, even if someone's going, hey, I'm looking for a new CFO,
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
instead of that, we could help them outsource that.
Oh, how about
and
that?
So Thanks. Searching Twitter that way.
Yes. Okay.
And helping just engage that audience that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after this, we'll add some links in the show notes so that people can get connected to the various things that we've mentioned
oh, yeah,
on our conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And our last conversation over the phone was about your blogging.
Yeah.
So you were looking to make a couple of adjustments on your blogging strategy. So has anything changed?
You know, I'm really happy with it. I mean, the amount of work I know that goes into blogging, and I just didn't want to be another person that tried and then stopped doing it. And every mm-hmm. you know, you went to their blog and you saw, you know, post every 3 or 4 months, and then nothing
yeah.
for a year and a half, and then it's again to start back up again is their next post always
yeah.
and so I just didn't want to do that, so
right.
I really put a lot of parameters on myself before I even started.
Mm-hmm.
So I committed to write 30 posts before I put one up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I committed to have a strategy together. I committed a good amount of money up front to be able
wow.
to. I didn't want to come in with just and that's just how, I mean, that's not the way to do it. I mean, some people
sure.
just go, hey, just go to Blogger and put up a deal. But I wanted to really, I knew if I put my own money and time and energy into it,
okay.
that I
yeah.
would commit
yeah.
to it. So that's
yeah.
what I've done. So, you know, doing 2 to 3 posts a week. And
okay.
really the thing I'm trying to figure out next, so my next
mm-hmm.
project is the newsletter. So I haven't,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've got the sign up and
okay,
getting good traction on that. And so this next month I'll do my first newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out what is... point, you know, I hear different reasoning behind it and what it can do, but that will be
yeah.
my next
yeah.
next thing here next week. I'll be doing
and
that.
And what is it that you blog about?
I blog. It's mostly, I would say.
You can go ahead and mention your URL.
Yeah, it's justinlathrop.com.
Yeah. All right,
you'll love it. No,
yeah.
and I blog about how to create relationships and networks. You know, following up. You know, growing in your social networking and your physical networking and meeting people, to go to a conference and get the most out of those kind of things.
Oh, that's great.
That's really what I wanted the point of the blog to be. Through that, the other thing I feel like I love to blog on and it gets a lot of my attention is the things that I learned from those. So it's making connections, but then because those connections allow me access to learn something about a unique thing a ministry has done or a church has done or a profile of a person I think highly of that maybe not everyone learns about because they're not a catalyst speaker or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's really what. So it's making connections with others and what I've learned from those connections.
Fantastic.
That's basically what the blog is. So
which church has gotten your attention recently?
Or
a person.
I'll do a church. The church in Minnesota called River Valley Church. Pastor is Rob Ketterling. Just an unbelievable church. He's on the lead team for the Association of Related Churches. And he's also an Assemblies of God pastor. Just an incredible guy. And just watching over the years him, you know, I lived in Minneapolis 6 years. So I know the area.
So I knew when his
church planted and when I was in college and just kind of hearing about it. And now just watching over the last several years it exploding to, you know, well over 4,000. And really what's the coolest part about it is how he's done some of the merger things, which is really the thing I'm most interested in right now. That church merger, the Leadership Network book that came out, Better Together. Unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, really great book on that topic.
Right. Yeah.
So any church that's doing that really well gets my attention. Mm-hmm. So his story of finding those mergers, and he has a great analogy of them being an organ donor.
That's a neat analogy.
He went up with his license in his hand and showed them where he checked off that he's an organ donor and that his church is an organ donor. And they're called, they're not a, it's not that their death can mean something. And
that's
it can mean life. And
yes.
So anyway, he's one. Another one that I would really exciting is a church in San Diego called New Break Church.
Haven't heard of that.
Oh my goodness, you got
that's in driving distance where I live.
You need,
I got it.
Okay,
down
so
there.
Pastor Mike Quinn, I'm going to mess up some of the details. So if he's listening to this story, sorry, but roughly pastored 20 years. With no more than 200 people in his church. Mm. In the last 10 years, it's now running almost 3,000.
Crazy.
With 6 campuses.
Wow.
Mostly done through church mergers and acquisition type stuff.
How about that?
People,
wow.
Churches were dying.
Uh-huh.
And he is just an incredible person. And he's utilizing church mergers.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be utilizing a lot of the outsourcing things that we talked about.
Oh, wow.
He's looking to start a charter school, just like what we've done with our church and the life school. So he is in my mind, he is on the front edge of learning, growing, reshaping himself. And it's a really great story of the church. Someone that's, you know, spent years just trying to make things work and finally seeing real growth.
And I'm very interested in the whole church merger thing as well.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I've done with social media is I've played around with using Pinterest.
Uh-huh.
So one of my Pinterest boards is photos of buildings that used to be churches.
Really?
And I think I've collected right around 100 of those.
Really?
From the U.S. and around the world. And when you look at those photos, I mean, I just start weeping.
What are they? And they, because there's something else now. They're saying
exactly.
Are
so
they
I have photos.
Or are they other businesses?
I have photos of church buildings that have been turned into restaurants, into lofts, into even one in Washington D.C. that was turned into a mosque.
Wow.
And it's just a very vivid picture or memorial, a building that shows you that used to be kingdom property. That's now lost to the world. It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Yeah.
And to hear the organ donor illustration, the generosity of churches to say, hey, our church is declining or the neighborhood's changing, but we still can be great stewards of God's property.
Yeah.
So that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, great catching up with you.
You don't want my faux pas?
Oh, I forgot. Okay.
You don't want to. A
social faux pas on social media.
Social
faux pas. We'll close out with that.
Yes. So,
we'll learn from your blessings.
Yes. Love Facebook. You know, even though Twitter is one that I use more, do love Facebook and what it can do and its uniquenesses. And so, maybe maybe a year ago now, Facebook re-released the way they do groups. So they've done groups in the past, but they changed it. And I was a little unsure about it. And, you know, I set up a group for my staff and nothing really, it was, I didn't really see any interaction that way. And all of a sudden I got invited to a small group of under 40 pastors. I think maybe there's 60 or so. And so pastors in the Assemblies of God that were under 40, just to kind of connect all that stuff. Well, I was like, well, that's really a cool deal. I was interested in that and thought it would be good. So I went through my list, and I had, I don't know, I'm going to guess, but around 700, AG pastors, most of which were under 40. So I just started what I thought, inviting them into this group. What I didn't realize is that, so I was going through my list, that I was placing them in this group. So know about the groups that when you ask people to be in it, you're not asking, you're putting them in there. So I put 700 or so of my friends in that group, and and the notifications on Facebook are defaulted towards notifying you with every post that anyone puts up. So the group had grown very quickly to 2,000 people.
Crazy.
And so my friends, I got calls from people on the golf course. Hey, I just looked up. I have 400 emails, and it was something that you put me in. What did you do? So anyway, I felt horrible as someone who tries to connect others to each other. I'm very careful to not sell anyone anything or try and put something, in a place they don't want to be. And so it was definitely, I definitely took a social capital hit that day and explained to everyone how to change their notifications and walked them through, which was not actually an easy thing to do. So they've made it easier since then. But so that's my fun little screw up in social networking.
Well, thanks for sharing that and helping us learn from your mistake.
Yes, you're welcome.
And we'll capture some other stories of others so that we can all learn together, because social media is always changing and we're stumbling upon new ways of using it, and we want to create a place where we can have those conversations and learn from each other.
Great.
Thanks
Justin.
CJ.
That was my conversation with Justin Lathrop. Always great to connect with him online and in person. Real accessible guy, so feel free to drop him a line at justinlathrop.com, and I'll add a few more links in the show notes for you to also connect with him, whether you want to talk social media or church staffing or whatever things strategic. A couple notes I should mention here: that I have worked with Leadership Network for going on 6 years now. So 3 years as an employee and then 3 years as a contractor. Love working with them, love being in a place where innovation continues to happen for the church and for the kingdom at large. And one of the things I did during my tenure there at Leadership Network was to trace this whole development of internet campuses and online worship. And back in 2007, as far as I could tell, there were 5 churches doing online worship or internet campuses. And that has continued to grow over the years. And my current count is 85 churches that are doing internet campuses and online worship. And I distinguish that from a basic video feed of a live stream or a recorded sermon. And these internet campuses are churches that are developing. These internet campuses are churches that are facilitating online worship with more than just the video feed, whether it's a chat room, prayer submission buttons, follow up with conversations after the sermon. There's internet campuses with interactive elements like light a candle or raise a hand. What's amazing about online worship, it is reaching thousands and thousands of people online, bringing worship to people right where they are. I know for many church leaders, it's an ongoing discussion about whether online worship is legitimate, whether online relationships are really real for the hundreds and thousands of people that are getting their regular spiritual nourishment and discovering Christ online. It's certainly real to them. And the funky tune that opens and closes the show, I want to give a shout out and thank you to Phil Cias, who is the Song Discovery A&R guy at Worship Leader Magazine. And he puts together 8 CDs a year with the best worship songs that we can find. Check the show notes for things that were mentioned on this episode of Social Media Church at socialmediachurch.net. Click subscribe on your favorite podcatcher, whether that's iTunes or something on Android. We'd love to hear what you're using to listen to our podcast here. Drop us a line on Twitter, Facebook. We'd love to get your voicemail as well. The number is posted there at the socialmediachurch.net. Thank you for tuning in to the Social Media Church podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll connect with you online.